Hello and welcome to a fresh new episode of Foodocracy for Her. I'm your host, Kalyan Karmakar, and Foodocracy for Her is a podcast dedicated to women in the F&B industry in India. It's a one of its type, it's an award-winning podcast, but that's not what I've come here to tell you. I'm introducing our guest, Jasleen Marwa, a dear friend of ours, and who's actually making her second appearance in Foodocracy for Her. So thanks for coming back. You know, sometimes it's difficult to get people to come for the first time and you come back, so that's a great thing. But there's a lot happening in our life. So Jasleen's you know, born in Delhi, then grown up in her formative years in Srinagar, then moved across the country including for education. And I think you were in Pune, right, before you moved into Bombay?
No, Delhi. I moved from Delhi, so
okay,
I was
Delhi.
In that north zone, and then finally moved here.
Mumbai, and now Mumbai has become
Mumbai is home.
Yeah,
Mumbai is a city where I've lived the most of my life now.
Same here. I mean, for me, till sometime back, it was more Calcutta than Mumbai, but now Mumbai is
Mumbai. Mumbai.
In fact, nowadays, sometimes I speak to people who, like, when I say I've been in Mumbai for 27 years, they often are people who are younger than that. So it gets a bit embarrassing.
We should just say now, Kalyan, most of our lives, maximum part of our lives.
Yes.
So
yes
I think it's really half my life. No.
Yeah. Mera bhi half hi hai. Yeah, actually half. No. Yeah. Anyway, so let's move on before we reveal our ages. I mean, you're of course young, but so you know, Jasleen's life is very interesting because she was in media, in production houses. She produced her own film for Netflix. Then she flirted around with the idea of doing pop-ups around Kashmiri food. You know, she, you know, at the FBI Awards, for example, at the event, I remember trying her tabak mas, and there was also lovely kebab you made. You'd also done some pop-up events in your house and stuff. Then the pandemic and lockdown happened, and you launched Namak as a serious home chef business with weekend-on-weekend menus, and then got into the catering space, which focused on Kashmiri food. And then it's not so new now, but now you have a restaurant, Folk, in Fort. So before I come into Folk, I just want to give a bit of people a bit of an idea of you know, and you know, you've been a home chef, then you've opened a restaurant, so you're obviously into food a lot. So when did this interest in food start?
So I remember shifting to Bombay, Kalyan, and moving finally into a shared apartment, and realizing that I did not know how to cook even a simple dal. That's when I had to get into the whole cooking scene. I had to call up my mom and say, how come I don't know even how to cook a simple dal? I know how to bake a cake, you know, make a sandwich, but I wanted to suddenly eat ghar ka rajma chawal, you know, and the craving for home food started the more you are away from home. So I told my mom, I don't even know how to make dal. So my roommate at that time, is the one who actually, you know, I think was my introduction to basic food cooking 101. You know, I learned how to cook dal, rajma, chawal, her style, but I understood the basics from there. That's where cooking started. And then I started cooking what I wanted to eat. You know, like if
rajma. Because a lot of people whom I've interviewed have said that, you know, we've grown up cooking or, you know, so nothing like that. So it's
nothing
not that you
like,
have to
I
be.
Think,
cooking from 10 years of age.
I don't
to...
think so. Yeah. I think you're thrown into cooking sometimes.
At some point. So, yeah, I think even when I got married, we started cooking. Yeah.
So, also, I think my parents thought, you know, we were in that phase where they thought we should not force that onto the girl child. It was that time where, you know, ladki ko padhao, likhao, apne pair pe khada karo. So that was more important. And they thought, let's not. We didn't go into that zone where only when we would say we want to bake a cake, something fancy, you know, we experimented with all that fancy zone, but nothing serious. I mean, not even a cup of tea was told, ek cup ka chai bana ke lao, you know, not even that. So it was, the focus was on that, let them learn and be able to, you know, stand on their feet. So I think it was just out of sheer necessity that the basic cooking started then in Bombay.
Just in case people are wondering, who are these people walking behind you? Where are you right now?
I'm at the restaurant. We are at four. I can show you around also. So the kitchen is
Yeah,
at
why
the
didn't you
back.
do that?
That's the kitchen door. So that's why you can't not get out of the kitchen door in a
Yeah, that's the most
restaurant.
important place.
Ah.
And then the entrance is opposite you and stuff.
Yes.
Okay, so you started learning from your PG mate and stuff, shared apartment mate. But then how did your your awareness of Kashmiri cooking, which is your home cooking, how did that start, or how did you go about that?
So once I had a kitchen that actually I could properly cook in, and then I started cooking what I wanted to cook. And then came Kashmiri, because even though I had not cooked it, I had grown up eating it. My mom made, my dad made. For the little bit of time that we were in Kashmir, we were treated by our neighbors, you know, Kashmiri food. And it was a novelty for us. I mean, my sister and I think we preferred that over any homemade food, you know. So that little kathori or vati, as they say here, of food that came in from the neighbors or the landlords, which was a Kashmiri food, even a basic sabji like beans, was very, very precious for both of us. So that taste for that food, and because that became comfort food and most loved. So I started cooking that when I had proper kitchen and, you know, a proper job and everything, and family. Finally, I settled in Bombay. So
But
that's when the
I remember you telling me about your calling your mom saying, help me with this, how to help me with that, how to cook.
And not that my mom was a, you know, very good cook
Yeah.
also, because she had also picked it up from our neighbors and stuff, because she knew we loved to eat it. So she was not from Kashmir. My dad is a Kashmiri Sardar, so he knew everything about food, but men don't cook that much, right? So mom wanted to pick up things. She was interested. She had done home science, so she has this handwritten recipe book where she has different kinds of food, ranging from desserts to everything which she has learned, which she still refers to. So again, the Kashmiri dishes she picked up because we loved eating them, and they may not be perfect, but they tasted good enough
They
for
tasted
us.
good to you. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the recipes I started with initially, but then I perfected them once I had to cook professionally.
Yeah, I remember you're talking about your going back to Kashmir and working with, the ladies and aunties there to get your kebab shapes correct, the kanti correct, and all of that.
So while I knew the correct taste, I did not know the other technical aspects
How
of
to
the dish
reach it?
ke शेप क्या होता है, कैसे होना चाहिए, ये क्यों डालते हैं, ये क्यों नहीं डालते हैं. मतलब कश्मीरी इंग्रेडिएंट्स आर सो लिटिल एंड सो बेसिक दैट व्हेन आई स्टार्टेड कुकिंग इनिशियली, आई वाज लाइक, इतने में बन जाएगा, मतलब इतने में इतना अच्छा टेस्ट कैसे आएगा, यू नो. सो इनिशियली आई वाज आल्सो पुटिंग इन मोर इंग्रेडिएंट्स जस्ट टू मेक माय फूड टेस्टी. बिट बाय बिट व्हेन आई केप्ट मेकिंग वन डिश रिपीटेटिवली, आई रियलाइज्ड आई स्टार्टेड रिमूविंग वन इंग्रेडिएंट आफ्टर द अदर, एंड आई स्टेट स्टार्टेड गेटिंग कॉन्फिडेंस कि हाँ, इसको हटाने से कुछ नहीं हुआ, मे बी उसका दूसरा फ्लेवर प्रोफाइल बेटर हो गया. सो देन आई अंडरस्टूड दैट यस, दोज फोर इंग्रेडिएंट्स आर द वंस दैट आर क्रिएटिंग दैट मैजिक, एंड नो नीड टू फियर द फैक्ट दैट यू आर पुटिंग इन जस्ट चार मसाले, नो अदरक लहसुन प्याज टमाटर, यू नो. That is the fun part, and that is what is creating the magic, the removal of those extra dish ingredients.
I remember speaking to Chef David Thompson recently when I was at Fire Back in Goa, and he's this very veteran Thai chef. So he's been working with the Indian team over there, and he has chefs who worked in Thai restaurants in India. So he said the first thing when you learn a cuisine is to first unlearn what you did. So in your case, you have to unlearn,
So I had to
so
tell myself ki ye, it's not necessary that this dish requires धनिया पाउडर और लहसुन और अदरक. So you're right, you're absolutely right. You have to just create a blank slate and just trust ke what has been working works like that.
So then you started, like I said, flirting with, doing some pop-ups at home and with this thing.
Yeah.
So, what was the initial motivation for you to try this? Because at that time it was probably not something you were looking at doing long term or
Yeah,
seriously.
for
So,
sure. Yeah.
yeah.
I
So
never
what
knew
motivated?
that there would be some kind of space for somebody who was only a home cook, only cooked something specific, not everything, and people would pay attention or have any interest. So I was wrong about everything. Firstly, home cooks became really, started getting attention. They started being looked up to because they had access and they had knowledge and skill set which just focused
Which
on a
year was
certain.
this? Which
It
year
was
was this?
2016
So that's
because
when the transition was happening.
2016 is when the attention was also moving to home chefs via a lot of dining platforms. So we could see something like, home dining, and we were wondering like, wow, you're making the restaurant space shift to the home space. How would that work was a big question. How would you let strangers into a home space was, a fear. But it was just a moment of doing that first home dining thing, and everybody who came in was either a big foodie, was curious about the space, was curious about Kashmiri food, or was dying to have Kashmiri food and had no access to it in the city. So
And
it was.
actually, where you stay for normal non-Bombayites is a bit away from the, the radius, the city hub. I mean, it's a big residential area, but a lot of people who would eat would have to sort of travel there. So you were seeing
Make.
people
Yeah, from
from,
all over.
and
Yeah.
Bombay people don't like to travel.
Yeah. So I
So.
think the good part was that the food traveled everywhere also to them. So they didn't mind that. So Bombay is really huge. And
And how was
where I
it cooking
stay,
in front of
suburbs.
people? Like in the FBI event at St. Regis, I think you were
Yeah,
cooking
the
and
Home Chef's event of FBI. Yeah. That
during lunchtime.
that's a big deal because firstly you're in a property that's,
Ah, St. Regis, like.
Yeah, so that, and then an event where all the foodies would come in, food experts like you would come in. So you're like,
I'm
super
eating
nervous
expert.
also.
I'm eating expert. Good food.
Yeah, but you get to talk to, you meet them, and you're showcasing your food, and you're still very nervous because you've just started. You don't know how they'll react, and how would you be able to explain or justify? So all those things, I think, were the initial bit of that played on my mind initially. I mean, I think that goes through everybody's mind when they start.
So then the lockdown happened, and I remember us talking about you're getting into a bit of a psychological funk about because of being cut off from everyone, as well as even looking at practicalities and sustenance and all of that. And then you launched the Home Chef thing with Namok, and I remember at that point there was no access to mutton, so you had to do with chicken initially, which is
Yeah, I started with chicken Rogan
I
Josh,
know,
right?
which is not very Kashmiri, but you have to make do with what's there till I know you got a mutton supplier. And then you became quite consistent, like weekly menus and then private
Yeah. Then
dining.
from the weekend, I think I was cooking every day
Oh, and
suddenly.
then private dining and
Yeah.
catering.
Yeah.
So,
Birthdays,
yeah. So looking
everything.
back at those days, sometimes we don't want to look back at those days because this thing, but what are the nice memories which have stayed back with you, or the learning experiences which have stayed back to
I
you?
think I was just taken back by the response of people because Instagram had taken over kind of, but I never knew that people who followed me were really serious, audience. Like I was like, yes, I have so many followers, and if I open an a menu on Instagram, I mean, does that even make sense? Like who would notice? Maybe one or two of my friends would, but how would I sustain that? What was the other medium of, even telling people that I was taking orders suddenly, But I was just taken by surprise because the response was tremendous and it kept on going. And not only was the food appreciated, but people actually, it filled in a gap during that lockdown between people trying to order in not from restaurants, but they trusted the home chefs more. So we kind of also filled in that trust gap that this food was safe to eat. So,
Yeah, and it was not just about trust or say someone you know either personally, like in our case, or through social media and following this thing. It was just good food. I mean, in your case, like it was
Ha. So
delicious
I
foods.
still
And
was, I was,
yeah,
I think
I'm
I was still justifying that part, you know. It had not
yeah.
sunk in that it was just my food,
So did
you
you
know.
have repeat orders and all of that?
Yeah.
I think
And
that's the
till
biggest.
date, you know, Kalyan Fook, it's been a year Fook has opened, and every second day somebody walks in who tells me I've eaten your food in lockdown. Yeah, that just gives me goosebumps. Like, I don't even know their face. We've never met. We've had a phone call maybe and lots of messages on Insta, or and they just walk in and saying that, you know, I've eaten your food in lockdown.
I remember you know, I think end of last year you did a Kashmiri festival at Intercontinental
Yeah,
Hotel.
last monsoon.
Yeah,
Yeah,
how was that experience?
that
Like, you
was
know,
very good because
working in a hotel.
yeah, it was quite good because you see this those are our chances to enter a professional kitchen, you know. Once in a while those pop-ups allow us to enter and see how an actual kitchen functions and what do people do and how do they assign jobs and, you know, new ideas coming out of the same dish. Like if I'm making something, you know, the chef, the executive chef could tell me that, you know, why don't we serve it that way? Or if I'm stuck at an issue, even in my own personal kitchen, if I'm struggling with a thing, when I bounce it off with them, you get an idea of how to problem solve it because of that expertise coming in. So it's always a great learning experience. And also you get to meet your diners face, you know, face to face. Like I remember
And
you telling me that you wanted to have garam garam khana, not out of a box, but on a plate, remember?
yes, without my having to take it out of plastic boxes. A bit lazy that way. You know, sometimes our past experience also comes into use. So you often say that your media experience has production experience has also helped in food. How's that? I mean, I know that during production, a lot of thought goes into the afternoon meal and the caterer and all of that. But that apart, how did it?
That is just 1%. In production, you are, Kalyan, problem solving from morning to night. All the problems are brought to you, and food is the least bit of them, unless it's the actor, you know, your cast and
एक्टर तो अभी घर से डब्बा बना के आता है, ग्लूटेन फ्री, ये फ्री, फूड
yeah,
फ्री, कॉस्ट
thank God
फ्री.
for that. They have their own private chefs now, you know. Best thing to happen to production wallahs.
Yeah, sorry, what you were
So yeah,
saying, that
so it's
learning.
production is all about, you know, being an executive producer or being in production is all about problem solving, you know. So basically you're facilitating a shoot so that everything goes well. So whatever is not going well is what you're handling at the moment, you know. And so I think that working in all aspects of making one final film. So when one film is made, you know, there are many departments. So in the same way, when you're running a restaurant, there are many departments and you're just taking care of all of them and problem solving so that your guest is happy in the end. That's your aim, right?
And all creative people. So someday your kebabji might say that, okay, that's it, I've done it. Or you know, so it's you know, all the create. And in your case, like, you're both creative as well as you know, the producer, because you're the chef and the owner. Okay, before I get into folk, just tell me a bit about namak and where is it, which is your Kashmiri specialty sort of thing. So where are things on namak?
Namak, see, I've started focusing more on what I had eaten while I was growing up, and that was mostly home food. So when you go to Kashmir, the first thing you hear in terms of food is the vazvan, which is the celebratory meal, which is very, very lavish, meat-centric, and mostly cooked when you're celebrating, whether it's a marriage or a get-together or festivity.
And then there's a Pandit Vaswan and the
And then there's
Muslim.
A difference between both the cuisines, the Pandit cuisine and the Vazwan. So
Muslim.
the Pandit cuisine is more home food, but there are many the basic difference between the cooking aspect is that they don't use onion and garlic, the Pandits.
Oh, but
And
even
while the
but do they
cuisine,
have meat?
they
They
have
have meat?
meat.
Okay,
They have
meat,
meat,
but without onion garlic.
but without
Okay.
onion. Meat because of the temperature and the climate and the zone that they're in, it kind of became a necessity, but no onion and garlic. And that makes it even more, the cuisine stands out even more because then they depend on asafoetida, hing, and again your soon sauf and your Kashmiri lal mirch. So like I said, these four five ingredients and mustard oil creates all the magic and all the difference between even the two you can call them genres, like in a film of one industry. So while I grew up eating that, so I started making that, and that was even more unique because you don't have access to Pandit food or to home style Kashmiri food. So sabzis like beans, like lauki, like paneer cooked in just milk, dried vegetables. These all you will not see immediately when you go to even a restaurant in Kashmir.
That's a winter thing, no? I remember you telling me
The
for an
dried
article,
park.
the dried vegetable, for an
Yeah,
article which I'd written on winter foods, you told me.
yeah, yeah. So
Yes,
in
yes.
summers you dry all the vegetables like tomato and all that, even park is dried, and then in winters you kind of use them. So you use them in combination with your meat or just as is, and they taste even better because they get this meaty texture, the dry this thing. Yeah, the dishes that stand out when I started cooking was the Rogan Josh, Kashmiri Pandit style, because it has
So
no onion and
different,
garlic.
yeah.
Then mutts is the mutton koftas. That were my favorite dish when I was growing up. So
Yeah, I
that was
loved
the
it
first
too.
thing I mastered. Then tavuk maaz is actually a Vazwan dish, but I was very curious about the dish because it's a very technical dish because of the cut of the meat, the part of the meat, and then how you boil it and the salt. It should be well salted, almost cured. It's like almost cured.
Wow.
And then it's just pan fried. So no ingredients as such, but just the whole technical aspect of it, of boiling the meat with the fat, the ribs, and everything, doing the salt to perfection, and then just pan frying it in ghee. So it's just, that dish blows my mind because of its simplicity and yet the outcome every time. You've eaten
I'm
that.
I'm salivating and hoping that people can't see me drool because I'm no, so that, when I was hearing you speak, I was thinking that it's so different from people's assumptions of Indian food, which is both spice and masala dalo. But I mean, you've done the food of different regions. It's not really that. So are you focusing now on your home style food in Namak? Is that what is that what you're saying?
So that's what people know me by, but then every time I'm just opening my mind to other things, whatever is happening, even what can be created out of these things in combinations. Like you said, intercontinental pop-up. Now there we had to present starters. We In India, we don't have concept of starters. There's pakoda, there's chai, there's nashta, but starters is not something that exists. We always create starters from what we can. So like we had to create starters there. So if you get a catering order, people always ask for starters. So that's something, then you have to use your creativity and stay within the flavor profile and create something that people can eat like a starter. So that is something you have to keep developing on, new things, new ideas, new ingredients. And then the cuisine never stops. Like you always hear of something suddenly, oh, this is also there. And then you want to learn about that, you want to make that, you want to make people taste it. So it just keeps on going on and on and on.
So, what format does Namak exist on now? Is it like, is it like, you can place individual orders, or is it like house catering, larger catering? So, in what form does
So
Namak exist now?
now it's mostly larger catering, just food delivery also. Food delivery for a group or for house parties or just for a
Minimum what
weekend.
size? What's a minimum size?
See, it depends. It depends because if I can, then I cook for 4 to 5 people also. And if I can't, then I apologize and we switch it to a day where I'm cooking it again, and then I reach out to them saying would they like to have it that day. So I club certain orders and make it a bigger order so that we send it out to a few people. But
And
otherwise, if there's a big,
maximum
might be done weddings. I've done a wedding. We've done a
Indian
birthday
wedding.
last. Oh, we did a birthday party in December for
Huh.
200, 250 in Belgaum. That
Wow,
was huge,
wow.
and it was only
So
15
you actually
days.
went to Karnataka and over there did the whole thing. Wow.
That was crazy because the language was different. People had no idea what this food
Mm-hmm.
is, and we needed vendors who could support us in terms of technical. Like we had to set up a kitchen base. We needed ingredients. Then the service trust staff had to be told what they're serving. So that was crazy because it was just start telling people ABCD of this new cuisine.
Yeah,
So
well,
it
I think this would be like your first steps towards like going to international markets and doing Kashmiri food. Maybe you don't know,
fingers
maybe
crossed.
in France or Venezuela or
Yeah.
wherever. Okay, now tell me about folk. How did that happen? And also, like, there were two things about folk. One is like a home chef opening a restaurant, I've not really come across, except, I mean, there are restaurants which have been opened by home cooks. But your breed or genre of home chefs, they have not really opened restaurants. So that's one. Two is people were asking that how come a restaurant by Jasleem is not a Kashmiri restaurant? So you can take them one by one. So how did folk happen first? Maybe we can get into that.
So, actually, folks started with the idea of a Kashmiri restaurant. And the first pop-up that I had was at WTF
Yes.
in
In a,
Versova.
yes, yes.
And since then, the team there and Prashant Pallad, who runs WTF, and I've been reaching out to him through my entire food journey. I've been reaching out to him, updating him on what's happening and when can we do this, how do I do that. So, he's been my bouncing board. So he's seen my journey, and I've been very comfortable sharing and problem solving and ideating with him. So
He's
he
a
reached
lovely
out.
person. Like even Sneha speaks a lot about Sneha Senapati and other people.
And they
They
do a
speak
lot
about,
of pop-ups at WTF.
they talk about how he's quite, mentoring and
So I kept also kind of telling him, that do you think I should move out of my home kitchen now? Do you think I should do this now? And he kept giving me advice or certain parameters as to when the next step should be and all of that. And by this time, the 3 years or the 4 years lockdown and everything, I had almost done all of that. I had done the pop-ups. I had actually gone out of the home kitchen, and I ran a cloud kitchen as well. So all of those boxes were also
I remember
checked.
that.
So
Yes.
I think this was the next stage. And then he was ideating with someone on opening something, and he suggested to them that we could do Kashmiri. So we built an idea around that and everything, and but then suddenly we found this space in Kala Ghoda, which is now Folk, and somehow it felt like a very central place. The pin code and Kala Ghoda and everything is where it's just Mumbai, it's Bombay, and it's the soul of Bombay, kind of, where Bombay begins from.
Classic Mumbai. Yeah,
And
classic Bombay.
you had everything happening here. You had tourists coming here, offices, the court, banks, people coming here over the weekend. And that was something that
Festivals also, Kala Ghoda festival,
Kala
where I
Ghoda
know
Festival.
you did a tea party in association with them.
So we started thinking that what are our other options? I mean, should we not stay within the parameters? That was one. And the second big reason was one of the partners in Folk is Zarina Dadan. So she's a Konkani Muslim.
I
And
met her, yes.
we had food made by her. And again, that cuisine is very, very rare. And she suggested, why don't we add that to the menu also? So once that idea came in, then just it never stopped. Then it was like we were in the home space and everything, and WTF, then Tanjore, then the idea from there took off, and we started experimenting with should we add this, should we add that, and a little bit of this, little bit of that, and it just suddenly started looking like the whole India of India was on the menu.
True,
And from
yes.
there, we took that idea and narrowed it down to a certain theme of how we could do that, which is where the pre-plated
Ah, yeah.
not thali. I'll not call it a thali because a thali has many elements in it. So it's a pre-plated meal because one main element, like either your rajma or a rogan josh, is your main, and then you serve it with whatever pairs well with it. And maybe the chutney or the achar, that is again pairs well with that particular thing. And maybe a drink in some of the meals, there is also a drink like sol kadhi or a chas or a lassi is a part of certain. So it's a meal which goes well and is pre-plated for one.
So you have a main dish or protein, and then you have a carb like a roti, rice.
Yeah, then you have either a salad or an achar or a...
Mm.
Whatever goes, some common elements that go like the papad churi, which we serve even in the beginning of every meal.
Yes.
The guests are welcomed by a little bowl of papad churi and they decide what they want. So,
well, what if they want another bowl? So, what if they want another bowl?
Yeah, they always end up ordering another bowl.
Yeah,
then
okay,
it's a
now.
Big bowl.
So how does it work? Like you sit and you get one, or say if two people come, they can order two, three, and like if someone wants a bit of Rogan Josh, someone wants a bit of Shorshe March or this thing.
So
like
what
it, does it have to be like
now,
one plate per person? Like what happens, say, in a buffet?
So there's
a...
no compulsion. I mean, what I've observed is people ordering in a couple of dishes and sharing, and then ordering individual dishes. And I've also seen people just ordering a whole lot of dishes and sharing also. So it just depends on the group or the kind of, like, if two people come, they'll probably share a kebab or a, you know, pav meal or a tandoor or a grill or a salad, and then they would order individual meals. So two people easily end up eating, trying out two things, sharing two, and maybe ordering two more individual portions, or, sharing one.
Coming to your customer base, is it more people around Kalabura, like the tourists and people who work there, or, and also that place becomes a bit quiet in the evenings, right? I mean, so how does it work for folk?
So it's a completely mixed crowd, Kalyan. Like if you come here from Monday to Thursday lunch hours, it'll be filled with lawyers and bankers. And dinners are more people who are in the area just doing errands, or just like they've come here for people who live around. And then weekend, you see people from all over the city. I mean, people from Powai and Thane and Navi Mumbai are coming in, you know, reserving tables a day before. Or
yeah,
even
because
like
there are queues outside, no?
Not really. That must have been a, you know, like, but yeah, weekend is quite busy and people, so their reservations already. So,
also, this is a question which often people wonder, because you are doing, first of all, to make this clear, you're doing traditional Indian food. So you're maybe doing it in a, slightly.
So it's Indian regional meals completely, but
you're not
serving it in a
reinventing,
particular
it's
format.
Yeah, it maybe reflects your personality, but you're not like reinventing the stuff or whatever. Maybe like a bit of what goes with your taste.
Here and there,
what
there,
goes with
you know,
your
like
taste? So
to stay within the boundaries of a restaurant, whatever we can adapt to.
Mm.
Like I really wanted people to try the gravy, yakni gravy, and I also wanted them to try the meatball kofta, but we do the
Gustava.
Chicken one instead of the mutton. Because
yeah,
it works well with the price point of the restaurant. It works well with if someone wants to have it on a hot summer afternoon as a lunch option. That's easy on the stomach and everything. And it gives them a taste of what the actual dish is. And then the actual gushtaba, I've done, so Namak has now done pop-ups at Folk. Proper pop-ups. So we serve the whole Vazwan also.
So do you charge yourself a commission?
That's a good question. I must look into that myself.
Yeah, maybe your your cat boys can represent Namak.
The Mao,
Zizu,
at least,
Zizu,
Mao,
Mao and
the
Zizu.
White one. My mom,
Mao
my
and
mom
Zizu.
Calls him the white one. Mao.
Okay. No, so the reason why I was asking this is, one is I wanted to establish that you do sort of traditional things, and do you, what is like your sort of age group of your audience? Like, do younger people, like, Gen Z or the younger part of millennials, like early 30s or late 20s, are they interested in this, or do you see more like family oriented or like the 30 plus audience? Like, because people want to know Like who? I mean, is today's audience really interested in our Indian food? And you'd have a
So
great handle of that.
there are colleges around also Kalyan, and so we do get Gen Z's and the young crowd here, but they eat differently.
In
So
what sense?
they just, I think, walk in without knowing about the place. Some of them have really researched the whole menu and everything. They know what they want. So those are the foodies who are really interested in food. And some are just in the area in a group and they see this place that looks nice and they walk in. So they pick what they want to eat at that particular time. And but then I see there an interest also. So then by the time they're leaving, they tell, oh, we're going to come back with our family. I think my mom's really going to like this place also, or this and
So
that, and
you
all
got
of
Gen
that.
Z getting the moms and dads
Yeah, yeah,
into
yeah.
ghar ka khana.
Yeah.
How did you manage so many cuisines? Because people feel that okay, I can do my stuff very well, but of course when you're sort of running a business or a company, like you also know that you have to go beyond your comfort level. So how did, I mean, some of course the Konkani came in from your partner. But how did the other stuff, how did, because you did a Bengali shorshe Ilish, you did, then there was that, that aloo tikka from Dehradun and stuff. So how
The
do you manage
trolley
all
tikki
that?
pav, huh?
Yeah, yeah,
So
yeah.
some dishes have, come out of maybe
There's a
travel.
Goan prawn curry, and yeah. So
Yeah.
how do you do
So
all of that?
I think by eating, so firstly, the team is a bit diverse. So the kitchen team, I have a lot of Bengalis, so that helps. So that zone is taken care of. And then, so I've also traveled. So in travels, when I was writing down certain ideas, I thought of things that were unusual that sounded nice to me. We jotted down and we researched on them. And we, so. From literally from July, August 2022 till December, we were doing the food trials at WTF or wherever we could, even at my place or if
You
I
never
was
called me.
traveling.
You never called me for those, for the trials.
Because it's just trust me, Kalyan. You've eaten at folk, you don't want to get into that. If like we started from what all we started, it was
Till the
another, it's
final
another
form, yeah.
story. It's
Yeah.
another Zoom call altogether,
Yeah.
the trials of pork.
Yeah, क्या कहते हैं BTS behind it, which is also now a
BTS.
Korean band, as I figured out. Once I'd written
Ah,
BTS, and
a very
someone's mother
popular one.
said, "Yeah, is this a Korean band?" So I said, "No, it's behind the scenes." Yeah. So you were saying you did a lot of trials,
So
and
the
then.
menu was quite extensive when we started, and then we started narrowing it down in terms of taste, in terms of flavor profile, in terms of variety, in terms of what is easy to maintain in a restaurant constricted manner, what could stay in how, keeping the technical aspect of the restaurant in mind, also the dishes had to work. And then there were certain dishes we just had to have. So we had to come to a sort of negotiate within ourselves at times to keep certain things to. We had to really say bye to certain things we really wanted, but we thought we'd do it later. And I did do some stuff later, and there's still some things I want to do that we would. And every region is so diverse and so huge that people still come in and tell me, oh, aapke pas yahan ka to kuch hai hi nahi, Hyderabad ka nahi hai abhi, Maharashtra kya hai, ये
Odisha ka
वो.
kya hai?
So
The people get
हाँ,
possessive.
exactly. So
Yeah,
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 so while
yeah.
we did have initially many things, and many things are so similar now. So a
Yes.
curry is something that is there in every region. So
But
all the
people will
curries
not,
probably,
everyone will think theirs is unique. So, for example, there are a lot of dishes which are common in Orissa, Bengal, Assam,
yeah.
Ahom,
So
Bihar.
this dessert,
But
the
we'll
name
also,
of
no,
sweet,
like ours is not the same
yeah.
as them.
So the
But
sweet
I,
mini
like,
dosa.
sometimes travel. I've traveled, gone to
हाँ.
Assam, I've gone to Orissa, to Jharkhand to see what the differences are. Often there aren't that much differences. I know I can be crucified for that, but yeah.
Yeah,
So,
I mean,
go ahead.
like like the curries, every region has a curry, Rajasthan, Maharashtra, Punjab, and most of them are bases the same. So you have to pick your dish in the
ये
end
मत बोलो, दिस
and
इज लाइक यू विल गेट ट्रोल्ड. ओके, सो नाउ टेल मी, लाइक पीपल लाइक यू, हाउ द वे यू स्टार्टेड
No, but
ऑफ.
I'll give you one more example, like
हाँ
the
प्लीज.
sweet mini dosa that we have at Fork. Now, it's something that I had never eaten before, and I just came up with it because we were pairing the neer dosa with some meals. And I just thought, why not have a sweet stuffing into it, like a coconut and jaggery, because we were experimenting with another dish and neer dosa was there. I just paired it up and it became a roll, and we called I didn't have any name for it then. And then everybody kept telling me, like the Bengali cooks told
Party
me,
shabda.
Pati Shakta.
This
Then so
is
then
cultural appropriation.
yeah, and then Goan, they have a thing. Then the Konkanis have another dish that is the same. So a little bit of here
The
and there,
Goan
but
pancake, they have the pancake, which is they have on Shop Tuesday, which is similar. Plus, there's another dish,
तो कोंकणी कौन सा डिश है जो एक है पनीर डोसा के जैसे मीठा वाला? हाँ, सो लाइक इट्स देयर इन एवरी रीजन. समथिंग सिमिलर इज ऑलरेडी ऑलरेडी एग्जिस्ट्स इवन लाइक व्हेन यू सी सर्टेन घावने. हाँ, इट्स कॉल्ड
घर
घावने.
दे
हाँ, गोवा, कोंकण,
या
बंगाल, ऑलरेडी
आसाम
एग्जिस्ट.
आसाम
या असम, हाउ कुड आई फॉरगेट असम?
ओडिशा ओके नाउ सी देयर वुड बी पीपल लाइक यू हु लव टू कुक हु टेकन अ बिट ऑफ अ फॉर इन टू से मे बी बीइंग अ होम शेफ एंड ऑल दैट एंड देन दे हैव कंसीडर्ड एवरीवन सेज दैट you cook so well, you should open a restaurant. Or I said, okay, I've maybe tried this, maybe I should open a restaurant. So, a bit of pros and cons from you for running a restaurant, which you'd like to tell people like you. What are the highs, first of all, of running a restaurant?
So when you've been a home chef, I think the biggest high is you get to meet your diners face to face.
When you have a restaurant.
When you have a restaurant, you get to interact with them and you get to suggest and you get to tell them about the dishes, right there and then, and you get to hear the how they liked the dish or not right there and then. So I think that's the biggest high, because when you're a home chef, it's just phone calls and messages or the Instagram tags and everything. And sometimes you've not even met them or see them, face wise. There's no association.
Sometimes
So I
people are
think,
polite and they say that, it's nice. But you can then see the real expression of joy. Now, I don't want to scare people off, but what are the things which people need to keep in mind in terms of the difficulties? I'm sure every difficulty can be overcome. You have. But what is it that should people should be prepared for when they're opening a restaurant or in partnership or whatever? All
See,
over.
in a so the biggest difference between being a home chef and a restaurateur is that you have a space that you're running, and there are many many jobs associated with that one restaurant. So when you're a home chef, you probably have two or three people working within that home, and they may also be doing other things, so they're not wholly dependent on that home business. And that home business has the biggest benefit of being run in a home, whereas when you move out into a space that you've rented out, there's a set of expenses that you have to meet month in and month out, that so every day becomes starts from scratch. Ke aaj how much sale is there gonna be, because that adds up to the end of the month, where you have that monthly what you call DSR, daily report, that you get every day at the end of the day. Can be It was very scary for me initially, when you would get that report in the end of the day. I was like, oh my God, is this gonna happen every day? I will be when I look at this figure and realize how good or bad my day was. But then I realize it becomes a pattern. So if you're consistent and if you're doing everything right, then it just somehow just goes on in a system and a pattern and a rhythm. But yeah, so but that every day is a fresh day is something that I've learned, and that is something you have to start living with, because अनलाइक अ होम किचन, यू कैन नॉट से कि आज मैं 10 दिन की वेकेशन में जा रही हूँ, सो माई होम किचन इज शट. यू नो, वेन यू गेट एन ऑर्डर यू कैन इजिली से, यू नो, आई एम बैक आफ्टर 10 डेज. बट हियर दोज 10 डेज द रेस्टोरेंट हैज टू रन एवरी सिंगल डे, सो यू हैव टू लुक एट
I
बिजनेस
mean, you
फ्रॉम
have to be
दैट
like a
एस्पेक्ट.
mask, or like even in noon, I was speaking with Chef Mansika because she goes on a lot of these scouting trips, you know, from Kashmir to, you know, Konkan to Korea. So she said, I have to, like, my restaurant has to run. So I have to make sure that, you know. So what
So
you're saying is
exactly,
that,
so that, so also you have to start trusting people who are running that restaurant when you're not there. So
Leave control.
building
Leave
that
control.
team, leave control, because you're a one-man show when you're running a home kitchen, you know. So getting to trust other people, building that trust and that confidence in them, and inculcating principles also of how you run by also in them, that this is how it is going to be, the quality is supreme, and then this and then this, what is most important, what cannot be sent at all, what is non-negotiable, all of those things you have to inculcate in that team. So once you've done that, that is when then you have that area, that space to, you know, experiment also and learn more things about. If you're running everything yourself, then you're not growing and you don't not learning things of how to move and grow within that industry. It's a new industry for me. So if I don't eat out, if I don't see what others are doing, if I don't sit down with a pen and a paper and see what can I do next, if I'm just cooking all the time, then that is not the purpose of the restaurant.
Also, the way you look at finances would also change, right? Because it'll become more complex, the calculations, the variables, like cloud kitchen is up to a point. Restaurant, you will also have serving staff. In today's day and age, you'd need a fully functioning air conditioned toilet, sometimes even valet parking. There's so many elements to your
Maintenance,
cost
there's
of listing on
maintenance,
Zomato. Yeah.
then there's maintenance, there's things going wrong, lots of
But
things,
possible, right?
BTS, BTS.
Possible, right? Because then people feel that, okay, like cooking is theek, like a woman can do, but all this admin finance. So what is your opinion
So
on
most of
that?
the time I'm doing that. So most of the time I'm problem solving. You know, we're limited staff. Suddenly, two, three people leave in a month. You know, looking for staff. Okay, they're not there. Then you're actually, you know, standing in for them. So
So
suddenly only the service.
so
Sorry.
you don't subscribe to this notion that women are okay in the kitchen of the restaurant, but the other part they can't. There's so many chefs now, no? They're like, you know, Vanshika, so many chefs around the world. So I think that notion is changing. What would you think?
So it's changing, and that's the way. If you're running a restaurant, then your awareness, your knowledge, your skill sets have to move beyond the kitchen, because cooking is then just one aspect where you're tasting and maintaining and creating new recipes. But the other aspect of with the service aspect of it, you know, interacting with the guests to understand whether how they're taking in what you're cooking also, you know, good or bad. Most of the time it's good, but sometimes the bad becomes really important, because that gives you ideas and insight into what to do next, how to change it, what is not working. And so we look out for those more than we look out for the good. I mean, the good motivates and is always good to hear, but the good ideas always come out from the bad sometimes. And then there's, of course, the admin aspect of it, like I said, the problem solving part of it, because so many things happen on a daily basis. Of course, Zomato, Swiggy, the deals, how to do this, the marketing, what to do on Instagram, what not to do, you know. And in terms of events, what can you do? What are your low hours, like evenings? How do you fill in your evenings? Should you change your menu? All of that. How often should you change your
Pricing,
menu?
pricing, pricing is
Pricing.
such a big thing. Okay, I'm going to come into, because you're talking of invention and innovation. So the last part I'm going to speak about is what's happening in Next in Folk. But I'm just going to take a mini break, which you'll empathize with, because my cat Baby Loaf is sitting here and his feeding tree is empty. So I'll just give me 2 seconds. Okay, so I'm back and Loaf has been fed, or he's eating. So tell me, what's next, Jocelyn, in Folk?
So I think something very organic that I had always kind of thought I would do when there would be a restaurant was, have other home chefs come in and do their pop-ups because it would be a full circle doing that, and now finally interacting with them and also come as a home chef. I knew what I wanted to do so much more than just a pop-up. So putting all those ideas into that, we're finally taking off and doing a home chef series of pop-ups. And we begin in May with Assamese with Chef Geetika. Everybody knows, I mean, she was one of the pioneers, one of the initial first home chefs, I think, that I knew of.
I think she's the first home chef whose
Yeah.
food I'd eaten as a home chef. This
Oh.
thing, I'd gone to her house. She was the first. Yes.
So the first home, so the first food event I attended was an FBI event, and she was the one part of the panel, and I had not even started then, so
She's
better
a
then I
part of
knew that.
Foodocracy for her also. We've interviewed her.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah, so we'll be celebrating Bihu with Geetika, so in May, and
And I believe
now.
you're going to Kargil. You've joined the army or what?
No. That's still not out of the that catch is still not out of the box. But yes, now on Foodocracy for Her, Kalyan will be breaking the news
Is
then.
it some state secret?
No. It's an honor. So there's a trust called the Tropic Trust that runs in Kargil. This Madhavi Peters is the founder, and I've known her for a while now through Instagram and her work, and she's followed my work. So she reached out to me saying that if I would like to curate and create some products in collaboration with the ladies that the army supports, and they want to include these products in the in a hamper that's going to be distributed on Vijay Diwas in July. So of course I said yes immediately, and now we're going May end I'm going, so that's a big deal, and I'm really looking forward to that.
And you're actually sort of, there's a Foodocracy for Her story because you're going to enable the local women with a very
Amen.
sustainable
yes
sort of effort as
yes
well,
yes
production.
Yeah, I
So,
think that so it's another milestone in my journey actually, because this is something now that's part of that part where I can finally use whatever I've learned also and go a step forward and do this.
Well, I was smiling because something just struck me. You are a bit like who was the lady who did the K serials? You would know better.
Ekta Kapoor.
Tum bhi like because you did Kashmiri food, then you opened a restaurant in Kala Ghoda. Now you're going to Kargil.
My God. And I'm having a conversation with Kalyan.
Yes, double
Wow.
K. Double. So that's 5 Ks. Super. So Justine, I think that what you've been doing is like really fabulous. You've had a very exciting life, and I'm sure that like a lot of people would be inspired by what you're doing. And guys, if you've not eaten at Folk, see, if you've eaten at Folk, I'm sure you'll be going back many times. But otherwise, you should go there. It's in Kala Ghoda. It's like the classic Bombay, like I said. And you can get some classic Indian food in a sort of cafe-ish format, I would say, or like a modern format sort of
Yeah,
restaurant.
it's casual dining,
Yeah,
so
casual dining sort
yeah.
of stuff. You can also look up Namak and look at it for catering things. And if you need some advice on being a cat parent, I mean, Jocelyn into kittens, and then she's growing, rearing them.
That's another part of our one
Yeah,
more
how to be
common
a
thread.
working woman, working mom with two naughty boys. I think that, So thanks, Asleen. Thanks so much for talking to us.
No,
And
thank you, Kalyan. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and
Thank
you've
you.
always been that. Now you know the journey, you've been part of the entire process also.
My
You've seen
pleasure.
it.
And if it's possible and allowed, please post pictures from Kargil. Whatever's like, allowed, we'd love to see what's happening there.
For sure, for sure. Really looking forward to that also.
Super. All the best for the future.
Thank you. Thank you,
Thanks.
Kalyan.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.